The Southern Baptist Convention, State Church of the Ex-Confederacy? Normally, it would be presumptuous to single out one church in a region, but in today's South, there is no choice. The Southern Baptist Convention, its official name, not merely a reference to its annual meeting, is preeminent in the South. An 800-ton dinosaur in the parlor of American Protestantism, and over the last century, the fastest-growing major church in the United States. To read about the SBC is to experience an impressive flow of adjectives. Distinctive, unique, fundamentalist, missionary, independent, imperial, uncompromising. The church is also, as we will see in Chapter 6, the increasingly political institution that in the 1990s cemented the Republican hold on the South and kept the party positioned to win the White House. One description rarely ventured is mainline. To quote Richard Hutchison in Mainline Churches and the Evangelicals, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and some of the major black Baptist groups are certainly large denominations with deep roots in American history, but they would be omitted from many mainline lists. Why? Because they are strongly conservative and are not part of the ecumenical movement. The SBC is also, in considerable part, populated by fundamentalists. Baptists in the South, however, have always been distinctive. At first, they shocked colonial-era Anglicans with their exuberance, physical convulsions, and adult baptism. Then more numerous Baptists annoyed the gentry of the new Southern states circa 1790 by their occasional biracialism, opposition to hierarchy, and disrespect for patriarchal authority. Thereupon, as we have seen, to gain community acceptance for their evangelical mission, denominational leaders made accommodations on prickly issues. By 1830, white Baptists who had questioned slavery in late 18th century Virginia were defending it as a divinely sanctioned social order. In place of frontier one-room meeting houses, Baptists in some towns opened colleges, ran newspapers, and built impressive churches, although too few to change the denomination's overwhelmingly rural nature. By rallying around regional culture, hierarchy, and slavery, antebellum Southern Baptists did alienate considerable numbers of co-religionists, mostly poor whites unsympathetic to urban fashion, schools, costly good works, and support for the local power structure. These discontented folk turned away to become the primitive and anti-mission Baptists of the Appalachian upcountry and Texas hills, so labeled because they opposed missionary efforts as middle class, expensive, and, by the Calvinist doctrine of predestination, a waste of time. According to the New Historical Atlas of Religion in America, 2001, these primitive or hard-shell Baptists grew to number a half million or so, white and black, by the end of the 20th century. Other small sects are numerous. Even in Dixie, many conservative white Baptists belong to denominations less fashionable or sophisticated than the SBC. As noted earlier, the National Baptist movement of the mid-19th century seethed with sectionalism. In 1845, after Northern Baptists told Southern compatriots that Yankeedom could never be a party to any arrangement that would imply approbation of slavery, irate Southerners decamped to Augusta, Georgia. There, eight states led by Virginia formed their own regional bloc, the Southern Baptist Convention, which from the start wore its regionalism with pride. A century and a half later, the SBC would be the only American Protestant denomination to still retain the word Southern in its name, a badge of its origins and commitment. Antebellum Northern and Southern Baptists differed over more than slavery. Despite alliances with the local establishment, those in the South tended to be of lower social and economic status, exhibited much less interest in an educated ministry, and extended westward by means of farmer preachers. Northern Baptists, by contrast, tended to be middle class, tended to think in terms of an educated ministry, and expanded westward by way of missionaries. After war broke out in 1861, a flag-waving SBC inundated the Confederate Army with uplifting pamphlets. One such, entitled A Mother's Parting Words to Her Soldier Boy, penned by Jeremiah Jeter, a Virginia newspaper editor and Baptist minister, supposedly was the most popular single piece of religious literature in Confederate camps, with more than 250,000 copies handed out. By 1864, Baptists had provided the Southern Army with more than 100 different tracts, totaling some 50 million pages, while also vending Bibles, hymnals, and religious miscellany. Not long after the war, Baptists in Virginia preened that the history of the world, we presume, reports no instance of an army so thoroughly under the influence of the gospel as was our noble Southern Army. When Reconstruction followed, the Southern Baptist Convention remobilized, despite wrecked churches, impoverished congregations, and lack of funds. These years put a strong psychological imprint on its future as well as the region's, akin to the intense Boer experience with the Great Trek and Ulster Protestant immersion in the do-or-die confrontations of the late 17th century. No other religious subculture in the United States bears any similar stamp. To religious historian Paul Harvey, white Baptists viewed political and religious reconstruction as the same process in different institutional settings. And from the start, prominent Virginia Baptists portrayed white Southerners as victims of Northern marauders. In Georgia, federal troops shut down the Christian Index and Southwestern Baptist for its advocacy of disloyalty as a moral and religious duty of the white South. Moreover, churches expressing sympathy for the Union or for Republicans found themselves booted out of Baptist associations and other religious organizations.